to me, creativity isn't just about art at all. Creating a business from the ground up takes creativity. And it takes, you know, some creative confidence. You have to believe you can make something out of nothing.
Welcome to Small Business Stories presented by Vistaprint. My name is Jeff Israel. Joining me today is Gail Åkerblom, the owner of Studio on the Common in Winchester, Massachusetts. Gail, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
So Gail, tell everyone a little bit about Studio on the Common.
So Studio on the Common is located in a suburb just outside of Boston. We're actually on the town common. It's a kind of typical New England town with the white church and steeple. My background was not in retail or art or anything to do with what I'm doing now. After graduating from Boston College, I ended up in technology. And I worked in high-tech firms, small startups, multi-billion dollar organizations. And that was most of my career. And then the last 5 years, I worked for a not-for-profit. But through it all, I had this dream of opening an art studio, the kind of place that I would have liked to take my children to when they were young. I'm not an artist, but I love to do art with kids, and I knew I would be hiring artists, but I really wanted to create that place in town that maybe when somebody was 20 years old, they'd walk by wherever, you know, the place we are and say, I had so much fun there. And so it started as an art studio idea. And then when I saw the space on the common, I knew because I grew up in the town, it was the perfect space. And it was a little too big for an art studio. My sister was in retail and was looking for her next thing. And so I decided to open an art studio and a retail gift shop. And that's what the business is. And we've been doing that for 5 years now.
Awesome. Congratulations. So tell me a little bit about that transition, like your dream and making it into reality. But what was that process like, sort of taking that next step?
I know that I had been thinking about it for a long time and I had looked into a lease. It was in 2008 because it was when all the other stores were closed again because of the way the economy tanks. So it was around that time. Mm-hmm. And I decided, okay, this is not the right time to do this. And so I kept doing the work I was doing, you know, my regular career, but it was always there for me. And after I finished in high tech, I wanted to do some work in not-for-profit. I worked for a very large not-for-profit in healthcare. And I did that for 4 years. And then I just knew it was the right time. My kids were off to college. You know, I just knew it was the right time. If I was ever going to do it, that was the time.
Awesome. And how's it been going over those 5 years, living your dream?
Well, it's been quite a ride, I have to say. I had to learn everything. And when I say everything, I really mean everything. From how do you take a credit card? How do you make a cash register drawer pop open? I had to renovate a building. I had to figure out how you buy, how to mark products up, all the parts of the business, marketing, finance, IT, sales, you name it, everything on that side. And I opened that part first, and then I went to the studio not long after that. And with that, I had to configure a whole art room, figure out how to buy all those supplies, hire an artist, figure out a registration system. I mean, just like, I can't even tell you. I feel like I have learned so much in the last 5 years, and every day I'm still learning a ton of stuff. And then to build something in the town that has a lot of meaning for the town, both from the studio side, where the parents are so grateful, the kids have so much fun, but also we do a lot of not-for-profit things. We have a not-for-profit brand called Create Good, so we work with a lot of the not-for-profits in the town. I use a lot of my business background to hold. I've held business offsites and team offsites and strategy meetings, so I still get to do some of that. Meanwhile, in the store, to give you a quick example, I had somebody come in who had a friend whose husband was dying on the West Coast. And she said, the person said, just send love, but I really want to send something. What could I send? And my sister and I like found this Simon Pierce heart, and we put together this little package. And, you know, then the woman sent me the note that came from her friend that had the Simon Pierce tea light lit, and a note that said, I asked my friend to send love and look at the beautiful gift I got. And wow. So we get to see the best of people and also create meaning in the community.
I love that. And I think we'll talk a little bit about community in a few minutes, which is fantastic. One of the things I wanted to ask about that you brought up is you're the owner, but as the owner that you're the HR person, you do payroll, you are the hiring manager, you're customer service, your everything. And there was a big learning curve there. Where do you go for advice if there's a subject you don't know about? Do you have any trusty go-to resources, or do you sort of learn by experience? How have you handled that?
Well, I know there's tons of stuff out on the internet. So I'm a self-learner because I have some background in tech. I might go and read everything I can, look for things on Merchant Maverick, or, you know, I use ShopKeep, so maybe I'll look at what they have in terms of setting up an online store, you know, the documentation from the providers. I ask other business people, what do you use? Who have you found that's great? I do go to Atlanta for the America's Mart. I've gotten resources there. There's an organization called IDEO, which is very creative and innovative. So for creative ideas about how to run the business, even though they usually have been consultants to big tech firms, they have a lot of free stuff out there. So I tap into some of that for my classes. So I kind of get it a little bit of everywhere.
You have to be scrappy, and there is information everywhere. We hear from a lot of business owners too. The community of people willing to help is always out there. You just need to look and ask. So that's great to see that you putting that into action.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So tell people a little bit about, because there's a lot going on in Studio on the Common, a lot of cool things. So for those people who may not have had a chance to walk through your doors, what's that experience like when you enter?
In the shop, you know, like every place where we have people come in, we are doing contact tracing. So we do have people put their name down so that we can, you know, if anything were to happen, we could get in touch with them. When the pandemic hit, we had to immediately pivot to online deliveries, which we had never done before, selling online, which we had never done before, putting together things that would be meaningful during this time. So creating new partnerships. So, for example, two doors down from me is a bakery, La Patisserie, and it was Easter, and we had all these beautiful cocktail napkins and candles and all kinds of little things that would make great Easter kinds of gifts. He had coffee cakes, and Mother's Day, we put together breakfast in bed boxes, and we'd put his coffee cake in, and then we'd put in some pajamas from us or various things. And so, so the store just kept evolving and evolving throughout the process. And so those things have changed. And now we're like, we'll probably never not have an online store because right. People found it very convenient. And we were sort of shoved into doing it. And we had some downtime in a way because the store wasn't open to make it happen.
And it's interesting. You're one of the many business owners we've talked to as well that despite, you know, the hardships of COVID and the pandemic and the quarantining have adopted something that when things get back to normal is something that will be part of their day-to-day operations still. So it's interesting how that happens.
Exactly. And it also has to be sort of, I feel some of it has to be dismantled and rebuilt because we had to like put it up so quickly. And there are things like ramifications on inventory and, you know, that you just don't have time to figure out. You have to put something up quick and dirty. And Then now I'm sort of processing, okay, before this online store gets too big, I want to back up now and rethink how I put together packages on the online store, for example, which are tricky from an inventory perspective, how to count something that you sell individually, but you also might sell as a package. So yeah, there are things that we'll keep, and it's also more work because you realize that what you do in a week is not what you would have done if you had been planning for months.
Right, exactly. I think that's something else that's come across loud and clear is you almost week by week, day by day, hour by hour, things are changing and you're on the fly.
Very, very true. And we've had a lot of support from the local community in the store, a lot of appreciation, asking how we're doing, hoping we're going to be okay, hoping we'll make it through it. That's really heartening and it feels very sincere. So that's helpful.
And tell me a little bit about the studio. What has the studio been doing differently? I've seen some cool things on Instagram, and I'd love to know a little bit more about what the studio side of your business is doing in the post-COVID landscape.
Yeah, so it's become almost exclusively focused on kids, and I say almost, but for the most part, we're really trying to help parents who are, you know, suddenly all forced under one roof, trying to work. Their kids are excited that they're home, but they're really not home to play with their kids.
Right.
And so we've been really trying to address that need. So we had to cut down how many kids. We used to have anywhere from 24 to 30 children in our summer programs because of the size of our space can only have 9. We have a morning camp with 9 kids, an afternoon camp with 9 kids. Those have been full from almost the time we put them out. And so we have those in-person camps. But when the pandemic hit, we knew we were going to close that weekend. My sister and I have 90-year-old parents. We hadn't been told we had to close down, but we were feeling like it just isn't safe. We don't know what this is all about. And so we probably closed down a couple of days before we had to close down. But anyway, as we started to think about it, we thought, oh my gosh, what are we going to do about the studio? And so it just so happened that AC Moore, a big art supply store, was going out of business. Mm-hmm. And I would go to that store. And I think they also started to panic because they were trying to get rid of all their merchandise before everything shut down. And so they went up to 95% off on everything. And when I tell you, I used to go to the store like 3 times a day, pile my cart up so that things were slipping off it in the line and people were staring at me. So we kept doing that and we filled our studio with art supplies. And then we put them together into kits, crazy kits that had, you know, glue guns that we had gotten for 50 cents with all the glue sticks and giant wood cut out mermaids that would normally cost like 10 bucks, which we got for 50 cents and all kinds of things. And then we videotaped a series of classes that used all the supplies. And we basically ended up with like almost 100 videotaped classes where we used all the supplies that we had gotten and we were able to pass them on at a great price. So loads and loads of families signed up for that. And on our website are all kinds of pictures from that.
Was this something like the e-com and the shipping that was a new offering that you had to get up to speed on?
Yes, absolutely. When I tell you the word pivot, I think will be like one of the big words that came out of the pandemic, but we just went crazy and we worked all through the pandemic. There were like 4 of us who worked constantly. We're dying for a vacation. We knew that we needed to keep the revenue coming in because we weren't going to be able to pay, you know, pay our rent and we didn't want to lose ground. And so that, yes, that was something that was definitely born of necessity. And now we have this great set of classes and then we realized that the kids were really missing the contact. So we jumped onto Zoom and we started doing live Zoom classes with kids. And there are a lot of parents who didn't want to have in person this summer and signed up for our Zoom classes, which are going on every week right alongside of our in-person camps. And then finally, because of my business background, I knew what it was like to be, in fact, not just a working woman, mom, executive, but a single working mom executive for a lot of my career. And I knew what it was like to have little kids home when you had to be on a meeting or were trying to get something done. And so I went to some of those companies and, for example, we're working with Analog Devices and we're delivering, they are paying as a benefit to their employees, they are paying for us to deliver live art classes for their kids. And they use all things that they already have at home. And so we have that as another channel for our art studio to deliver classes. And that's been a wonderful partnership, and the parents have been very grateful to the company and very appreciative of everything that we've done. And so we've been doing that as well. And now I'm talking to other companies because that was so much of my life before. So now I feel like I'm going in like 20 different directions. I have a really good team, and if something needs to scale, we'll bring in the right people and scale it when the time is right.
So how are you handling staffing and other operations since the pandemic hit?
You know, I think the challenge for me, and I wonder about other businesses, I think it's fairly typical. You get to a point where you're successful enough that you probably need more hands, but not ready to commit to that next full-time hire.
Mm-hmm.
This was going to be our year of really shoring up operations, and then COVID hit.
Right.
So now we've done all this pivoting and reacting and responding, and we're trying to get back into the having a bit more control about what's happening going forward and how we set ourselves up well for the growth in all these different directions.
I wanted to talk to you, your name is so evocative of community, studio and the community, and you mentioned your community of Winchester and how you're working with businesses in the community, and it's very family oriented and child oriented. Just wanted to talk a little bit about what community and your community means to your business.
I intentionally chose Winchester to build my business. It's where I raised my children. It's where I grew up. My parents still live here. I really wanted to spend some time in the community, and I've loved, you know, that now I know the town manager and the board of selectmen and the school committee, and you know, I have the time to really be involved in the other business owners and the charitable organizations and the volunteer organizations. And so when we started the business, we said it was going to be about creativity, connection, and community, and that has gone through everything that we've done. So we want to bring people together, we want to bring creativity to everything that we do. We want our shop to feel different. We want our classes to feel different. To me, creativity isn't just about art at all. Creating a business from the ground up takes creativity, and it takes, you know, some creative confidence. You have to believe you can make something out of nothing. And being able to, you know, give to charitable causes that are really important. We do a lot of events where we're giving 10% to a charitable cause, but we don't just do that. We have a party and we get sponsors. One night we had a men's night and they were the bartenders or the beer tenders, and the local bank actually paid for the refreshments, and everybody comes and has fun in the studio and then shops in the store, and then proceeds go to the charity. And that was for Mission of Deeds, which provides furniture for people coming out of homelessness. And you know, it's just we always are doing things with the Winton Club, which raises money for our local hospital. We have a lot of fun and are able to accomplish things, build our business, and create something special that hopefully, like I said, little kids, people who grew up in the town will remember, you know, 20 years from now.
I love it. So admirable and fun, and I love your perspective on it. What's coming down the pike, and what's going to be new for your business? And it seems like there's lots of changes, you know, already happening and potentially on the horizon. And what I was curious for you is, especially with schools sort of up in the air in terms of, or all handling things differently, both in person and virtually, are you guys waiting to see how that all falls out to see if you'll maybe increase programming that maybe you thought of more as summer programming as opposed to making it more year round and things like that? I was curious how you're approaching the school year.
Yeah, so we are waiting. We've heard a version of what is going to happen in Winchester, but there are details that are really critical to us in terms of programming that we don't know the answer to, and we actually don't know when we will know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get on school committee calls, and I really have a lot of empathy for the people who are trying to figure this whole thing out. But we're just hanging back on our fall programming in terms of what are we going to have live and at what times and for what age groups until we know exactly when the kids are going to be available, because in Winchester, at least, they're going to go to school Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday, Friday. Wednesday's virtual learning for everyone, but they're still responsible for the days they're not in school being available. And we're not sure what that looks like. Like, do they have to be available just in the morning so that we could offer things in the afternoon, or just in the afternoon so we could offer things in the morning? So we've had so many parents calling us, and we're just all in a waiting game.
You wait, and you find out, and then in a split second, you react. But I think we're all sort of in the same boat there. But at least you're a step ahead of the game and knowing that you need to prepare for something, just waiting for that something is.
Exactly. And I had a mom, to your point, I had a mom say, all at the same time, I feel like my life is moving at a snail's pace and warp speed.
Yep.
And if one sentence didn't capture the way I feel, I mean, that's the one. I feel exactly the same way. Like, when are we going to find out? And then the second we find out, we're going to have to be, why do we now have to write everything up and market everything and get it out? You know, it's going to be, we're going to be behind before we even start.
100%. My last question to you is, if people would like to find out more about Studio on the Common, maybe they want to take part in their own COVID creative challenge and some of these classes, or if they want to send some cool gifts, where can they find out more information about both sides of your business?
So our website is the best place to start, studioonthecommon.com, and they can always call us at 781-721-1023. And we're on Facebook and Instagram, and yeah, we'd love to hear from them.
Awesome. Well, Gail, this is so enlightening. Really, really cool stuff that you guys are doing. We'd love to check in again, potentially in a couple months, and just see how everything's going. But really awesome stuff. Love the way that you guys have pivoted and adapted. Super cool. So thank you for taking the time for talking to us, and we'll talk again soon, hopefully.
Thank you.
Small Business Stories is presented by Vistaprint. For more advice on running your business, visit the Ideas and Advice section on Vistaprint.com or follow Vistaprint on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you know a business we should feature on Small Business Stories, email us at podcast@vistaprint.com.